Welcome along. It's La Liga Weekly. No fancy, silly intro this week because everything in Spain has been overshadowed by the terrible scenes, the floods in Valencia and the Valencia region. So we lost, obviously, a couple of games this weekend. But, you know, every post-match interview, every goal that was scored, every pre-match, understandably overshadowed by it. They were. If you haven't seen it, they're you know, over 200 people dead, many more people missing. So the unfortunately the death count is likely to rise significantly yet. And it was just humbling that you see the cars picked up and dumped like they'd just been chucked in a rubbish tip, and then people's lives turned upside down. So it's understandable, Terry, isn't it, that it's overshadowed the whole of the football program this week. It overshadowed everything in Spain.
Yes, and yeah, I mean, it is tragic, and it's just getting worse by the day. And it's, you say it's humbling, it's scary as well that, you know, a country like Spain can be hit with a weather phenomenon like this that just destroys so many people's lives. And there was a debate whether any game should have gone ahead this weekend. And Tebas, I think quite right that some of the games that were played, and also correct that Valencia and Villarreal's games were not played. And there was some, lovely touching gestures from players and clubs and supporters around the leagues that were on display at the weekend. So it's a tragic, dreadful situation.
So we will focus on all the games that have so far taken place. Celta Vigo, Getafe to come this evening. So there's seven remaining games. And we lost the Real Madrid game because they were due to be playing Valencia this weekend. So it allows Barca to press on. They were involved in a derby. I mean, what a few weeks they've had. This was always the easiest of this little run, the kind of Bayern Munich, Real Madrid, and then the Barcelona City derby against Espanyol. They've won all of the games. They've banged in the goals. And they continue to catch everybody offside endlessly. we'll get to the offside paradox in a bit, but some of the goals they scored, some of the football they produced in the first half hour, absolutely sparkling from Barca again.
Yeah, and it must be pleasing for Hansi Flick to send his team out at the beginning of the game. It's a derby; they are huge favourites, and he would have been impressing upon his players, let's get this, let's make sure we get off to a good start. Let's not be complacent, not be sloppy. Let's keep the standards. And the game was done in 30 minutes. Then he can then start thinking about resting players for the games coming up and giving players playing time on their way back from relatively long-term injury spells. So it was the perfect afternoon. We have to talk about the offsides. I mean, Javi Prado scores a goal. It was on the counter-attack. They must be averaging two goals a game disallowed by the tiniest of fractions of offsides against Real Madrid, against Espanyol. The game becomes quite confusing at the end of it, where you're wondering, is that a missed opportunity? Was that a missed chance? Oh, he was offside anyway. And then you're looking at, oh, that's a goal. No, it's not a goal. And it's tactically, it's good.
Is it?
But I just think that the fine line, we're talking about one of them yesterday. I wasn't even sure, even though we got the automated offside stuff now. I'm trying to still look and think, well, where's the, oh, it's the shoulder, it's a kneecap. That's
see that
too close.
How much is the plan? How much have they planned this? So the plan, explain the plan then to people who haven't seen Barca. They play with a, and it's not the greatest of high lines. It's very high, but sometimes it's ragged, isn't it? Some of the ones you're seeing where they're not all perfect, and they're not coming out necessarily getting it spot on.
Well, Hansi Flick made a good point that the fact he's been having to play the same two centre backs. I'm going to say having to play because other players are injured. They're both fantastic players, one older, one younger. Has helped them establish consistency with a back four.
Yeah.
Hector Ford came in yesterday for Koundé. That was the right thing to do. So that might explain that it wasn't the usual back four that's been playing every game. And those two centre-backs, neither are the quickest. I mean, they're not slow by any means, but they're not lightning quick where you can afford to push up to the halfway line and get those attacking players running in behind, and you can play offside, or you can run back with them. Balde did it with a couple of occasions where he was the last one and ball over the top, and he was second favourite, and he gets there and wins it comfortably because he's so quick. So you do need quicker to play this way. You need quicker players than Kubacki and Íñigo Martínez, but somehow Barcelona committed to it. What it does mean is because the defence are pushed up so high and the fullbacks are really pushed on, then you've got lots of players in midfield and lots of players in the attacking positions. And the intention is when you lose the ball, you react as quick and as fast as you can to not allow an opponent time to control the ball, get his head up and find that pass. And if you allow that time, it allows the attacking player to make a more specific run in order to beat the offside trap. What they're doing is they're making teams play frantically. Mm. So teams that are playing Barcelona know when they do win the ball back, they're under pressure quickly, so they play the ball forward quickly. And then there's the element of judgment from Kubacki and Íñigo Martínez, plus the tactical instructions they're given to run up, squeeze up, get as close as they can to the halfway line in order to catch opponents offside. It's working, but it's so close. And you're talking about the goals last week, the goals this week. Could have been so different. Everything else about Barcelona's game is a joy to watch at the moment. It exceeded all expectations. Dani Olmo has just got, you know, the player that I wasn't sure they particularly needed is the player they need. Hmm. We're talking about Nico Williams. Oh, they've got to get him. No, Rafinha's doing fantastically well. Everything's turning out well for Barcelona, and you know, they run this game comfortably and they move on to the next one. It was, you know, one of those weekends where you get the job done without being untidy and sloppy, as I said, and hope to beat your opponents and get it done as quickly as possible, and see exactly what they've done.
Game of the weekend was probably there for Girona Leganés. It certainly was in terms of scoreline. It's a funny game though, wasn't it? Because 4-3 to Giroud. Leganés, three goals were all absolute belters from outside of the penalty area.
If you're doing a goal of the week, it's all three of those. It's 1-2 and three. They were, which is pleasing to see, not only the fact they score three goals, but the quality of the goals, the quality of the passing, the long-range shooting, it does bode well for the future. They've had a decent start with week 12. They've got 11 points. They're not floundering. Attacking aspect of their game has been the issue. But for him, Jimenez now, it looks like he's coming up with solutions to try and score more goals. Although you can't rely on scoring three worldies every week. Mm. But this was, yeah, they got back into it, behind twice early on 1-1, got back to 2-2. Girona crept away from them again. And Girona, likewise, I mean, the first two goals for Girona were from both fullbacks. They're pushing on. So there was so much to admire in this game. It was a great result for Girona. And Leganés will take a lot of positives from this match.
Stuani set a record, didn't he? Which I think is record number of goals as a substitute in La Liga. Obviously, it's a relatively, those kind of records are always going to be broken in modern times because there weren't massive amount of subs in the past.
Yeah.
But chuck it, there are more subs now, aren't there? Half the goals are scored, but, well, not half, but a huge amount of goals now are scored by subs compared to in the past. But he is unusual. And then he literally came off the bench to take a penalty this time.
You need the experience to do that, don't you?
Yeah.
He probably felt comfortable doing it. There'd be a lot of players, I'm not sure how I would have felt, coming on without having a touch of the ball, and your first touch is to place the ball in the penalty spot. You, as a striker and someone who wants to score goals, you're grateful for that opportunity to get off the mark quickly. But the pressure on it, it must be huge. And that was to put his team 3-2 up. It was a tight game of football. He didn't come on and do that when they were 4-1 up. It was level at the time. He comes on, puts it down. He makes no mistake. He's taking enough penalties. I'll take your point. It is, back in the day when there was only one sub. Sometimes that sub never got used because you were reluctant to use it in case you did get an injury. So it was the same 11 that started, finished the game, and most games of football, to be honest. That sub was only there for a super sub if you were losing. Mm. Or injury.
Yeah.
And that was it. So then it went to two, then three, and now is it
five?
Five plus.
Sometimes six.
Time, yeah. If they needed. Yeah. Head injuries is another addition.
Yeah.
And that's from a choice of, I've even lost count now how many subs, because someone told me it was 9 and I saw 12 on the bench the other week for someone. So I don't know the numbers of which, how many you're allowed on the
Different in
bench.
different competitions, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was Celta against Real Madrid, where Real Madrid didn't have many. They had 7 or 8, but 3 of those were goalkeepers. And it looked weird when you looked at the team sheet and someone else that they were playing against had something like 12. I'm not sure there's a limit on how many.
I think
I
it's
know there
twelve
is
in I think
for
it's twelve
you.
in La Liga, I think. I
Is
think.
it? Is it 12?
Yeah,
Yeah,
twelve, I
someone
think.
told me 9, and I thought, well, there's more than 9 there, isn't there? So it's it's changed a lot of football, to be honest, because you were involved. I had issues when I wasn't involved in the starting lineup, and you're not one of the one or two on the bench, and you're sitting there not you're totally not involved. And it's, you know, why I left one or two clubs. You know, you're in the cold. You're not. So if I was at Man United, for instance, if I'd have stayed, I probably would have stayed at Man United if you were one of those number of subs on the bench with a chance of getting on every week and 5 are allowed to be used. You'd probably stay for a bit longer because you're gonna play. And so it has helped the game. It's made our life more difficult with the amount
Oh,
of time.
commentating's a nightmare. Yeah, honestly, because I did a game. You talk about the sixth sub. I did a game. I was doing Asian Champions League, and I'd missed the fact that one of the injuries had been. It didn't. He wasn't like smashed in the head, but obviously went down as a concussion sub. And so I thought, oh well, at least five. You know, that's we've had
This one.
10 subs. That's enough, isn't it? And then make another one. I think, why? What? Because where's how are they making another sub? And then, oh, right, because that guy went off. Yeah, that must have been concussion. So, yeah.
We got also the additional issue of how many windows they're allowed to make a substitution as well. So it means more managers are making half-time substitutions now because it's not part of the window.
I don't mind that, though. I'd rather that. I heard Wayne Rooney saying that it should be totally open, but no, honestly, no, that'd be chaos. So, you know, it's a bit too much for the spectacle. I'm not sure. Do you think managers have picked up yet on the tactics of it? Because I've heard
I agree with
attacking
that.
subs described as finishers, so they're sort of working at it, aren't they?
Yeah, I
But
agree with that. I think it's, and I Bayern Munich brought 4 on at the same time like the other week against Barcelona, and that was unusual. I thought you're only allowed to bring on 3. That was a rule at one stage. It had to be 3 and 2 or three.
No, I don't think so. Yeah.
To bring 4 on, if I don't know again that the laws have changed. Kind of tactically, you could 5 at one go. You're changing half the outfield players. So you're putting on half a new team. I mean, you could do it even if it's you only allowed 3, you could do 3, and then 2 minutes later do another 2. So you could do that. That's 2 windows. But you can really change the dynamic of a team. You're probably looking at not changing the back four and the midfield holding midfielder. But then if you change the other 5, you're putting 5 fresh players on. They've only got 30 minutes to play. It's so the tech, I agree with you. I think the tactics are haven't caught up yet from management with regard to how we can change the dynamic of this team totally.
And the other thing that you could work on is set pieces as well. If you because you could sit with three guys on the bench, three or four guys on the bench, planning new set pieces and stick them on, especially if you've got some big guys sitting there waiting to go, or you know, a set piece taker and a couple of good guys that are heading attacking the ball. So that I think clubs are sort of getting there. It's the kind of thing that you know, you should ask people involved in the game whether they're doing it. They might be cagey about telling you, but yeah. So anyway, so that'll do for Girona versus Leganés. Where should we go? Atleti. So you weren't massively convinced, were you? They won 2-0 against Las Palmas. Las Palmas had good results. On the upside, we've been critical about Atleti's defending. Las Palmas had one shot that was from the sort of the corner edge of the penalty area, almost nothing at all on their XG. So they didn't threaten Atleti at all. So, you know, 2-0.
Yeah, I
All
mean,
right, isn't it?
no, it's fine. I wasn't blown away by them. This is what I expect from Atleti on a regular basis. So I have no criticism of their performance levels, but I wasn't blown away by it. It was a hard, there's still a hard watch. In the first half in particular, I thought was a hard watch. And Las Palmas, despite winning the last two, this is the it's not a bad result for Las Palmas. I mean, they've gone away from home. Until two games ago, they weren't scoring, weren't keeping clean sheet. I know it happened in this game, but they were getting beaten every game. They hadn't won a game of football. They win two on the trot. They go to Atletico. They're not expected to get anything. And this should have been this, at the very least, this type of scoreline. So it was, I mean, Simeone is a really good player. He's full of passion. He's strong. He's powerful. He's direct. He got the goal in the first half. They didn't threaten too many times in the first half. They're lots of possession football. They without really having a cutting edge. And it took the channel ball. I think it was Molina with a channel ball. Good old-fashioned ball in behind. Simeone chases it, gets there, good control, heads it down, takes his time from an angle, finishes it off really well. And that kind of took the pressure off of... You can see the pressure because of the passion that he showed. It's his first goal for Atletico Madrid. And his dad's getting some criticism. He probably feels the pressure because of people worried about nepotism, that he's getting an opportunity because he's the manager's son. I would suggest that's probably gone against him, to be honest, because what we saw of him on loan at Alaves last season and the brief bits we've seen him in of this season, he deserves a chance on merit. So the fact he's been the manager's son has probably gone against him, but he gets his opportunity, takes it, scores a really good goal. I think he's a really good player, and I think he could be an asset to his dad and Atletico Madrid.
What's his best position? What will he end up being?
Well, that's the problem with... I mean, at the moment, Simeone's chop. We're not sure what we're getting from Simeone. Back four, three at the back. I don't know whether it's forced on him because he's lacking numbers in terms of best centre-backs. I think with Lionel Mandfit and Ronaldo was on the bench, he plays left side, so it was back four. Probably, I would say, left in a 4-3-3, in the three up front, playing on the left, coming in on his right foot, the position he played for Alaves. But he can play, I mean, in down the right and go outside defenders and get crosses in, and he can provide a goal. I think he's a really good player. I really want to see more of him. And it's taken a while. But he was the standout performer for me in the first half, irrespective of the goal.
Everyone back in European competition because we need more games, Terry. There aren't enough matches to fit into the calendar. Sevilla 0, Real Sociedad 2.
Soloff was the other scorer. Soloff, if Simeone trusts him, he's ticking away nicely without being trusted 100%. He will get 20, 25 goals this season. He will. And he'll do it with us going, oh, Soloff scored again. Oh, so he's up to 13 now. He's on 15. He's on 18. Oh, he's done 20 in all competitions.
What's he on now? I'll look it up. Carry on talking.
I'm guessing 5 or 6 without us ever thinking. And Simeone has got that player that will score 20 to 25 goals. And then he's got Julian Alvarez.
Yeah.
He'll get 10 to 15. Griezmann will get 10 to 15 as well. Correa coming off the bench will score goals. So somehow with someone like Giuliano Simeone, and you've got other players in amongst it, you can have that solid base of a back four or back three and hard-working, solid midfielders like Koke, Depaul, Marcos Llorente, Conor Gallagher. There's a team that can be built there by Simeone. And it's just putting all those elements together. And I understand the rotation that's needed, but not as much as we have seen. And I didn't learn too much again from Atleti at the weekend, other than this is a game they should win. Kept a clean sheet. Oblak was not busy at all. Maybe that was a lack of ambition, attacking play from Las Palmas, who don't have that necessary belief yet at the moment to go away after two wins and think, yeah, we can get something from this game.
Yeah. He's got 4 goals so far this season, which is it, right? But as you've said, with a lot of chopping and changing and in and out of the team, makes it hard, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Right, so Real Sociedad got a 2-0 win at Sevilla. You were saying, we were talking about, when was it, Friday, with the Patreons, that Alguacil was under a bit of pressure as the Real Sociedad manager, which doesn't have to be unthinkable. Anybody, if you lose too many games in a row, you're gonna get sacked. So it was an important result for them and a good outcome for La Real.
Oh, smashing. And this wasn't us saying he was under pressure. We've said that for the last 2 or 3 weeks. This was the media. this was coming from within the club, that this was a game Real Sociedad believed they couldn't afford to lose because of the runs of form that they've had. And they're looking around. They're looking for solutions. They've invested well in the squad in the recent seasons. More income has come into the club, and it's a question worth asking. But the big difference in this game was Take Kubo had, and he's a player that's been in and out. Like most of the attacking players for Real Sociedad under Alguacil this season, no one's really forced the manager into picking them every single match, not because of their form. All of the attacking players, no one's really seized that opportunity yet of being, don't worry, boss, I'll be the one to create and score goals. No one's done that. There's loads of players that are capable of doing that. Take Kubo is probably the obvious one, along with Oyarzabal. But Take Kubo, he just sprung into action in this game. He's got a chip on his shoulder when he wants to. He plays with a lot of joy. He gives a lot of joy when you watch Take Kubo playing football. You can enjoy watching him play. But that hasn't been the case this season. And he looks as if he's got the ump. As I say, he looks like he's got a chip on his shoulder this year rather than playing, expressing himself with joy. I don't mind the chip on the shoulder sometimes from players. It works in their favour, and it did at the weekend. I think he's had enough of being on the bench, being taken off early, not getting brought on, and not scoring goals, not creating goals. And he played with the fire in his belly that suits him. And he was the reason they won the game. He was the best player by far, and the biggest reason why Real Sociedad were able to inflict a little bit more misery on Sevilla. And they looked in this game, despite the fact that they were relatively close in the division, it's looked a massive difference between Sevilla and La Real.
Well, Sevilla have played 6 home games in La Liga, Terry, scored 5 goals. It's obvious problem, isn't it?
Yeah. And I can't see where the goals are coming from, apart from Luca Bacchio.
Yeah.
Aduke when he's fit, but he's missing at the moment. So there's no obvious. Iheanacho hasn't made an impact yet. He's not been trusted enough, to be honest.
Yeah, well, he scored in the cup, didn't he? And then you thought that might have, hoped that might be a kickstart to something.
Isaac Romero gives you everything but goals.
Yeah.
So that's a problem for Sevilla. Where are they going to find the goals? The 15 points, week 12, 12 games played. It's okay, but their aspirations this season must just surely be get to January without being in too much trouble, and then hopefully find a striker that can get them 10 goals in the second half of the season. But everyone's going to be looking for that.
Yeah. Shall we talk about the Champions League race, Terry? So therefore, that takes us to Osasuna. Which is a 1-0 win against Valladolid with a penalty, which, doesn't sound like the greatest performance, but they had plenty of chances. It was a pretty comfortable 1-0. Is that a fair way of putting it?
Yeah, it was. And it down to the fact that Valladolid defend relatively well, but showed no ambition whatsoever in scoring goals. I mean, you're looking at it thinking, come on, I get why you concede a penalty early on, and you don't want to chase the game early on, don't want to open up. But it was one of those games where I'm thinking all the way through to the last 10 minutes, are you going to have a go? And no, they didn't. It was so it kind of just petered out into a result that suited both teams, to be honest, which for Paolo Pezzolano is mystifying as well. You're not chucking everything at it. And one or two injury issues for Valladolid, which don't help limit his options, but yeah, it wasn't a good look from Valladolid, and it wasn't a great performance from Osasuna. But they're hardworking. They defend well. The fundamentals are good. Juan Cruz is a really nice left back who's involved in all the action all the time. And you're thinking, where's he playing? Where's he playing this week? And Budimir is the one that is their talisman. Vicente Moreno is doing all right, to be fair, particularly at home. So there'll be no issues. 21 points is a good total for a team sitting in fifth. Could be anywhere near that position.
And Vicente Moreno is another one who is from the Valencia area, isn't he? And he's from a village that was one of the places affected by the floods. So that's what when I was saying, it's sort of put its mark on everything in the course of this weekend's football. So, Osasuna are fifth, which is very impressive Indeed. By the way, I should say patreon.com/LTEL if you want to become a patron. And I was just going to say congratulations to Jack. His twins incoming, so he's gonna have his hands full. But the most important, got to give time to your kids, Terry. That's important, isn't it? The advice that we would give, but also got to make time to watch football as
exactly.
well.
And listen to podcasts.
Yeah, so congratulations. Yeah, and if you want to become a patron, patreon.com/LTEL. Two more games to have a look at.
Oh, be twins. That's going to be tough with twins.
Yeah, but you limit, you might as well give in and recognize that you just got to stay in lots and have the football. Yeah, so stop fighting it. I remember when we were always trying to be very active parents. With my kids, but when I remember once having a hangover with my daughter was very young, and just actually I just sat there and I think I'd watched that the nights before recorded Spanish football or something, and she was perfectly happy as a baby, and I think it was easier, wasn't it? It was easier not having to do anything, take her anywhere. She just sat there, I watched the football, she was fine. Not a long term plan, but just a bit of advice in the short term, it worked. Athletic Club got a 1-1 draw against Betis. It was a funny game, this one, Terry, wasn't it? I mean, in the end, I think 1-1 was probably fair, wasn't it? But they sort of each had spells. A spell where Athletic were doing lots of attacking, hit the woodwork a couple of times and not making the most of situations, which is one of the things that they...
Yeah, they're
Where
good
they
at.
fall, you think that, besides you thinking, they're really dominating. And then you think, but what were the chances that they had in that period of dominance?
Exactly. It looked like a take. The first half was a performance from Athletic Club, who looked like they couldn't score a goal against Betis, who didn't want to score a goal. So you're looking at the balance of play, and then you're looking at, well, how many chances has Bruce Silva, how many saves has he had to make? Because Athletic had all the play, all the chances, but there was no end result. But it was a decent performance from Athletic Club in the first half. That you wouldn't have their supporters going in at half time thinking, oh, we've been rubbish. You're still going with plenty of belief that Giallo and the two Williams brothers and Sanset, that he had the best chance anywhere he hits the post. I'm not sure if it was offside. I don't think it was, because it didn't go in, we didn't get far and look at the confirmation. But there was some half chances, there was some misgivings in terms of the final pass, the final cross. But if you're going to put your money on anyone, it would have been Athletic Club scoring in the second half. And then Pellegrini makes some changes at half-time, which was quite surprising. And they completely transformed the game. They turned it around so quickly. And Fornals gets a goal in the 52nd minute. There was a 10-minute spell after that where it could have been 3-0 to Betis. And then Athletic got a foothold back in the game because it was only one goal deficit, and then they make a change as well, and Berenguer comes on for Giallo and scores a goal. Berenguer's in really good form. Guruzeta was a miss, he wasn't in the squad, so it didn't mean slightly they changed the way they played, but they've got so many good players, Athletic Club, that we're learning about, that come off the bench, that can have an impact, and players that are starting are playing, they're pretty new to the starting lineup. Good squad of players. In the end, the draw was a kind of a fair result, although I think Betis probably just had a 20-minute spell where they were dynamic. The rest of the game, Athletic Club were on top, so it kind of was the right result, but maybe I'm leaning towards thinking Athletic Club should have won it over the 90 minutes.
All of which makes sense when you realise that they've got identical records, haven't they, in the league this season, same points, separated on goal difference only, so they're, I guess that... Two very similar level of teams, and even though they're not similar in many other ways. Last game, Alaves 1, Mallorca 0. John Guridi, the goal scorer, a bit of a lucky goal, wasn't it? But then sometimes that's football, isn't it? The ball
I think
ricochets
lucky
around.
If you're in the right place at the right time,
precisely,
and it bounces off someone and lands you, he still had some work to do. We've seen them missed this weekend from other players.
Yeah,
it was still a little bit of work to do on the finish. Guridi's a good player. Difficult spell of form for Alaves. Started the season where I think it was 5 straight defeats, and the pressure was on Luis Garcia Plaza, who's kept them up. He was, I think, they were the two managers under pressure this weekend because of the results that have suffered. Alguacil at La Real and Alaves with Luis Garcia Plaza. And if both had lost and either had got the sack, we'd be sitting here thinking, that's a really tough call to sack Ecclesfield. It's a tough call to sack Luis Garcia Plaza. Promotion, 10th in the division, excellent last year, decent start, first run of bad form. He looked like he might be on his way out. Thankfully, and I'm pleased, no disrespect to Mallorca, but I'm pleased that Alaves and Luis Garcia Plaza look as if they're going to continue their working relationship. So Mallorca, though, balls in the box, balls down the channel. They try to get Sergi Dada involved in the game as much as possible, but Alaves deserved this one, I think, just about.
Yeah. Some big games in the Champions League this week. I mean, there are always lots of games in the Champions League nowadays. PSG versus Atleti on Wednesday night should be an interesting one. Challenge for Simeone's side. Barca are away to Red Star Belgrade. Real Madrid have had a weekend.
I had to look up that name. I didn't get
it. Oh, Krvenišvesta. Yeah.
Centre.
I've gone old school calling them Red Star Belgrade there, haven't
I? Yeah, I did have to Google that. Yeah. I thought it was them, and I thought, what? Who's that team?
Yeah. And then the great battle of the great European clubs, Real Madrid against AC Milan. Milan, as you people feel obliged. You know what? I've got this theory.
When did this change?
Oh, it's been when.
Right. Not the phrase Milan, AC Milan, Inter Milan. It suddenly, I was.
Because people.
Sky and Champions League, it's Milan. Milan, it's not AC Milan.
So. Right, I reckon the Italians are wrong and the English are right about this. I'm going to sign off with a little bit of an attack on the Italian football culture. Right, why? So people say Milan because that's how the Italians say it.
I get that.
Yeah, that's but the problem. They say it. They are wrong when they pronounce the word Milan. What's the name of the city? Milano. So it's not called AC Milano. The name of the football club is AC Milan. Milan. Who says Milan? The English. It is an English word. Why? Because it was set up by Englishmen. It was Milan Football and Cricket Club, set up, as so many football clubs around the world were, by English sailors and, you know, English people travelled around. We invented football. We took football to the world. The rest of the world, you're welcome. You should thank us every now and again. So that club name is an English word. So pronounce it with your English accent, if you're English. You don't have to do an Italian accent to pronounce an English word. It's a weird way around. It's like when you say, it's like, what is the name of the club in Bilbao? Athletic. So you don't have to say it in your English accent because it's an English word. That's, they use the English word. So say the English word in your English accent. Very
what
simple.
Have I unleashed here?
If anyone wants to take me up on that, you have to become a patron. Otherwise, I'm not listening.
Podcast, John having a rant rather than
yes,
me.
Yes, getting yeah. Anyway, a familiar one about.
My apologies to our Italian listeners.
But I said it to a highly rated, very influential Italian journalist, and he said, "Yeah, fair point, actually." So there we are. Yes, so there we are. If there's any other pronunciations that get on your nerves, actually, I'm interested in if you, because commentators debate this all the time. How much you go with your pronunciation, because it's an interesting one, because you don't want to be a total sort of ignoramus and just get it wrong and say place names wrong, but at the same time, if you're speaking your language, so if a Spanish commentator says Liverpool, they don't have to do a Scouse accent when they say the word Liverpool. so they can use their own voice to do it, so anyway, I mean, if you want to give us your views on that, feel free to. If not, enjoy your football this weekend. Not this midweek. If you we expect you to watch every single European football match that is being played this week. It is an obligation, and we will see you. We'll see the patrons later in the week, and we'll see you all for another La Liga podcast next week. Bye bye.